So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Les is here, but Doc's in a tunnel. I can barely hear him.
Oh, you can't hear him.
Thank God for our high-quality technology and...
Yeah, let me turn my mic up. Let me see what...
Let you do what?
Let me turn my microphone up and see what that problem is.
That would be clever, yes. My ears have been boxed many times over the years. That it's a problem hearing you when you're loud.
Yeah, this is a new mic, so I don't know. Oh,
okay. Well, that's a step up anyway.
A step up.
That means, do I get a raise, too, if you got a new mic? No.
Mm.
Okay. Are we on the air?
We're on the air, my friend.
All right. Well, I guess we start this with a moment of silence for our dearly departed friend, Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll get to that at some point in time, right?
Yeah, we'll miss McMahon.
Yeah, we will.
Some of us will. last night, though, Big Raw... And it was McMahon Appreciation Night last night. Right?
Yeah, it was. Quite frankly, the show was just a show. You know, I thought that Benoit and Lashley had a strong match. I thought that Edge and Cena had a good match. You know, basically that was pretty much it for me.
They had quite a bit. They had a lot of guys coming in last night. Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, of course, they had all three, you know, they had their full roster from all three brands there. You know, the things that jumped out at me is at first I was rather perturbed that Benoit going to ECW, and because, frankly, I think Chris is, well, I don't know if he's been misused in recent months. He just hasn't been used well, I don't think.
And, right.
And I don't care what anybody says. He may not be the most articulate, glib promo on the face of the earth, but this young son of a gun is just one of the best damn workers in the business ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is, if that does not account for anything in the year 2007, then I need to find something else to do with my life. The good thing, I think, though, the more I thought about him going to ECW, it's a good thing for the young guys there.
Yeah.
It'll give guys like Punk a chance to work with some talent, you know, with a talent. He will teach over there. I think that's, and of course, this will give me a reason actually to watch ECW now, because I am, for the most part. But, you know, from a teaching aspect, I'll be entertained by it, I'm sure. And again, it's good for the young guys there to get a chance to work. And the same kind of goes for Flair going to SmackDown, you know. But it's obvious that Raw's the number one show, is the flagship, because they got, I bless his heart, I felt so bad for Taz last night having to, I thought if you were Pinocchio, your nose would have grown clear across. I kept talking about how cool it was to have the Boogeyman coming to ECW. Okay, but I guess on the Sci-Fi Channel, you know, a guy eating worms and looking like a goof is a plus.
Hey, that fits. I'm surprised I didn't think of it earlier, to be honest.
But, you know, it's, well, again, now they're going to do, well, they've postponed it. We're going to do it Wednesday, I guess, tomorrow. But now, because I guess they're having a week of mourning for the dearly departed Vince or something, they're going to do it Sunday, more draft. But, you know, that's the thing, honestly, there was some movement that made, you know, that was meaningful, but for the most part, and I mean this is no disrespect, she's a nice lady, Tori Wilson went to SmackDown. Okay, Doc, what are you doing now?
Now I'm a little too loud. Hold on.
You're also got a lot of static.
I know. You want to hurt me for this.
Those of you listening, we are now in the show, and we will test the equipment to see if it actually
works. I couldn't stand that feedback I was getting, so I had to change something.
This is a reality show, ladies and gentlemen, and so all the mistakes, as this Doc is actually auditioning for a new Tim the Tool Man Taylor show.
Doc the Tool Man.
Or Doc the Fool Man.
Doc the Engineer.
Yeah, right. Which he won't blow up any cars. He'll blow up a radio station somewhere.
Let's run it down quick for you guys, though. McMahon Appreciation. We had Jesse Ventura, Snoop Dogg, Mick Foley, Steve-O, Donald Trump, Ashley, Moolah, May, Jimmy Snuka, The Iron Sheik, Bret Hart, Bobby Heenan, Mark Cuban, Captain Lou, Dusty Rhodes, Mean Gene Okerlund, and, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin. The draft, they had 10 draft picks. It's pretty good that they fit in 10 matches in 3 hours. The Great Khali moves from Raw to SmackDown.
Yeah, well, that was an important move for somebody. I'm not sure for who.
The Boogeyman, he's moving from SmackDown to ECW.
Just run it down, like, those going to SmackDown, the Khali from Raw, Tori Wilson from Raw, mm-hmm. Chris Masters from Raw, and Flair from Raw.
Right, all going to SmackDown.
And of those, Flair is the guy that means something there, except I assume that Khali gives Batista, you know, somebody, a bigger guy to do something with, I assume, on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I guess I look for Kennedy and Lashley to get the push on Raw. Booker will fill in, you know, it'll be a good strong heel there. It'll give Cena a new face to work with. Well, any of the baby faces for that matter.
Right.
You know what, kind of, and I heard somebody else talking about this, so this is not an original thought on my part, but it was something again, as you know, I'm about logic, and small details make big things believable and workable. Lashley works, of course, you know, with Bobby, he's not Mr. Personality either. They talk about Flair, but Lashley is not exactly the most animated facial person in the world.
No.
Anyway, the point I'm getting at here is Lashley worked so hard to retrieve his ECW world title from McMahon,
mm-hmm.
Umaga, and the crew there, and when they stripped him of the belt, it didn't seem to matter at all.
No, it was just kind of like, you know, thanks for watching, and...
You know,
to me,
it would. I mean, not to fight the issue that I don't want to go to Raw, but I, you know, this is the way it is. But you know, I hate to relinquish this because it's, you know, it was it took me so long to retrieve it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's something that makes, you know, some kind of promo that made sense. That's what I'm looking at there anyway. So it was, but the show itself, like I say, I don't think was all that. That big a deal, you know. The way
Mr. Kennedy's coming to Raw, though. I'm happy about that.
Well, okay.
I like Mr. Kennedy.
Well, no, I'm not down on Kennedy. I'm just, you know, here's a guy who is not a bad worker. I'm talking about his mechanics in the ring. He's
right.
A good promo guy. Has a good look to him. He's getting, you know. And again, you know, it goes to show, I mean, not that he wouldn't get a push otherwise, but with the rosters being shallow, well, of course, he went out with the injury too, but I'm sure he'll get a renewed push once he's back in the saddle, you know. So that's all well and good.
And Snitsky is moving from wherever the heck he was to Raw now.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, we'll actually see him now? Or
I don't know Snitsky. I'm neither here or there with him. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He's just another large body to me. You know, when I say that, you know, a lot of it has to do with the way people are pushed, is the way they're perceived. And you know, he needs. I don't think he's a great worker. Again, I haven't seen enough of him to be honest to be able to make that evaluation. But I think if they put him with some good people, You know, now Cena's getting better. I mean, you know, and that, of course, John's weak point. But and watching that match last night too, and I think, you know, Edge is really, really matured in his in-ring mechanics and stuff, and he elevates people too. He'll end up, you know, maybe it won't be a Flair or a Benoit, but he certainly, you know, has made great strides himself. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know with Snitsky. I really don't. Masters is just a body. You know, again, the boogeyman. Whatever. Whatever. You know what, though? When the whole thing with Vince last night, the walking around with like he's in a daze or on 9 trillion milligrams of Valium or something, or whatever, or Somas or whatever it was, I don't know. But the whole... there was a shock value to the explosion, but past that, what? You know, I mean, he obviously is going to come back on his own show at some point in time.
Right.
They could have gotten him off the air, just, you know, sent him to the funny farm for a while. I don't know, rehab or whatever. You know, but I mean, this is just, this is to me is where, like, the Druids, the whole match with Batista and Undertaker where Henry came out and then, you know, Edge was able to win the title. That had such a big show feel to it, a big match feel until the Druids came out. And then it became, you know, Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not interested in it. I don't want to watch Harry Potter if it's all the same to you. And that's what this whole blow-up thing is just a very obvious. Well, I should say it shouldn't say it's very obvious that Vince didn't really die. I guess there were actually some people making news out of this, making, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I read on the PW Insider where a guy driving to work this morning heard on a like a gossip report for Hollywood News or something, you know, where. You know, he sent out his condolences to the McMahon family, and the guy listening at first thought it was a rib, but then it wasn't, you know, which is kind of frightening in a way.
It kind of is, especially with the media and ignoring everything about wrestling. And, you know, they actually really double-check their sources now if they get some story like
this.
Here's the thing.
I understand publicity. I've worked on that end of this business extensively. You know, but why? Okay, so you want to be, but why do you want to be noticed this way? Again, you've got the rest of your life to come up with an answer that makes sense. You know, because there's no, he's not, I mean, Vince is obviously not going to stay off his own show or hide in his house for the rest of his life, you know.
Yes, but as of today, just for today at least, June 12th, he's dead.
Okay.
Everyone presumes.
What's the game show where
McMahon dead?
Where's the game show where, you know, Clue? Is that it? I don't. The board game where
Clue.
You know, yeah, where the butler did it or the
yeah
or whatever. This is, you know, and I just, you know, they work so hard to do goofy things. Why don't they work that hard to really draw you in? You know.
Mm.
Whatever. I want to mention a couple of things that aren't mainstream. I don't get the Versus Network. I don't know if you do on your cable system or not.
I believe I do.
Okay, well, a kid that I trained fought on there on the MMA, which is the, what's the name of the company now? It's owned by UFC. But anyway, Craig Zellner, he lost, but I just, you know, I would like to see it if I could, but I didn't have the opportunity.
Who did he wrestle as?
He wrestled as Ray Steele.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, and great kid, probably one of the most intense athletes I've ever worked with in my life, and he had a developmental contract, and when they did the cutbacks in 2002, when I lost the developmental deal and a lot of guys got cut, in fact, they cut 40 people up in the office, he lost the deal then, and it really affected him. When I say affected him, he didn't, you know, pretend to commit suicide or anything, but he decided to go back to MMA. He had fought a little MMA before he came to me, but hell of a kid. When he came up to me from Albuquerque, he sold all his toys, his motorcycle, his Skidoo, whatever, and man, he came to train. If everybody had come to be as serious as him, man, it would make this, being a trainer's so pleasurable, you know. But anyway, he's I hope he does well. He and I talk occasionally. I knew he was going to be on this network, and I went looking for it, and it's I'm on Time Warner here, and it's not on my system.
The unfortunate thing about the whole thing is he didn't just lose. He lost badly. He lost bad. It wasn't even a contest, and I think they called it in between rounds.
No, he went as 4 minutes 45 seconds, I think. Just barely missed getting through the round.
Okay.
I guess it was from what I understand. Again, I didn't see it. The other guy's hand speed was pretty quick, and once he got Craig down, it was ground and pound, and they stopped it like with just 15 seconds left in the round or something like that.
I knew it was closer.
So it wasn't like whatever. But that's the other thing too. If you look at the records, and I got to see Lesnar. I did get to see.
Yes,
that.
This was the same show.
No, it wasn't.
No,
Doc. No, no, no.
Okay.
No. Lesnar was K1.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, a pretty impressive win for Brock, honestly.
How did the other guy look like in comparison to Lesnar?
Well,
the
other guy was a silver medalist in the Olympics a few years ago in jiu-jitsu, so I guess, he's hardly chopped liver, But, I mean, the guy looked, it's just once Lesnar got him, took him down and got the mount and they were saying, well, watch out, that's, of course, Brock being, NCAA wrestling champion, he understands, and he put himself in a position to throw with his power to throw those punches down, from mm-hmm. that sitting position, man. He rocked this guy's world.
Oh, yeah.
So
I see it, if you're a master in jiu-jitsu or whatever, you need to use that jiu-jitsu to keep him from getting you down. But
I think the unique thing, and I'm just getting to where I'm really getting into the MMA thing,
mm-hmm.
Not just today, but, over the last several months, is that it's a combination of things, I mean, Lesnar, for example, does, because he was an NCAA wrestling champion, doesn't mean he's going to step right in there and kick butt.
Right.
Because somebody else is a better puncher or, whatever, could beat him. Or on the other hand, it's Angle with the Olympic gold medalist. Does that mean he's going to come in and be good at this? No, not necessarily, because
right.
Can he punch? I don't know. And obviously nobody else knows at this point, But then that's the same, you can say the same thing for a good boxer. Because that's one thing, the old thing, can a wrestler beat a boxer, boxer beat a wrestler? My thought is this, everything equal, a lot of it just comes to luck, But here's the thing, if the wrestler takes the boxer down, the boxer's on his back punching up, there's not a lot of power behind that,
Right.
It's not that he can't hit him. But it's just there's not a lot of smoke, behind those punches,
mm-hmm.
and he's got to get in close enough to hit the guy with a punch. And once he gets in that close, then the wrestler has the opportunity of hooking an arm or doing a takedown or whatever, So it's that's what I find interesting about it, is these guys, they have to develop other strengths other than what they bring to the table, which is, that's outstanding. Like Lesnar. No one knew how he would be in the terms of punching and that sort of thing. Of course, this thing only went a little over a minute,
mm-hmm.
so he was strong with it. So, speaking of, we're talking about kids I work with. I guess our guest from last week, Nigel, had a match with Brian Danielson, which was taped for the second Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Which people are touting as possibly a match of the year candidate.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm just tickled to death for him.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, and before we go any farther, let me say something positive about TNA. The show last Thursday was probably one of the better shows I've seen in a long time. One of the things that just keeps bothering me, though, like they had Tracy Brooks wrestling Dale Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And... they attacked each other in the office. It's like, why? Why is everybody fighting Cornette's office? No, I mean, it's redundant, and it doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, there's no issue here, because what had happened was Rude wrestled Jerry Lynn, which I wish they'd let gone a little longer, because I think that would have been a real good match. But anyway, Tracy interfered, and Eric Young came out. So anyway, long story short, Jerry grabbed Tracy, and Eric was going to nail her with the chair, and Cornette came out. So now we're not going to have any men beating on women. However, I'm going to give you a match with Gail Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no history with them. It's not like, you know, they're sleeping with each other's boyfriends or anything like that. It's just, and here they are fighting in the back already. I'm thinking it becomes so redundant and so, like, who cares? You know, it's overdone. And that I've got to say anyway. But Storm, and I hate that beer bottle. I hate it with a passion. God, I know where I want to put it.
Just because it's a beer bottle?
Yes. Well, let me ask you, the last time that you saw a legitimate athlete bring a beer bottle and suck on it during a competition? Do you think tonight that LeBron James will have a beer at courtside in the NBA playoffs?
No, he'll do that after the game.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's crap.
Yeah.
It's stupid, overdone. It goes back to the Harry Potter thing again for me. You know, it's silly.
Fantasy.
Huh?
Fantasy.
Well, I don't know who writes these things or who comes up with it and thinks this is cool, and somebody's going to really think that's a neat thing. Because, if you are an athlete, you know it's BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not, son, come in and sit down. There's a role model for you. He gets drunk before he does his competition. So if you're playing Little League Baseball, maybe we can, you know.
Sometimes the coaches do that in Little League, but.
Well, but the point is they don't do it publicly.
Right.
Nobody does. No, who walks on the court or on the field with a pill in them or, but if they walked out there with it in their hand and swallowed, they're not going to get to play.
Right.
You know, and it's stupid. Well, you know, I told a kid the other day who does this ignorant gimmick of drinking beer, and he thinks it's cool. I cut a promo on him. I really like the kid, but I just think it's disrespectful to the business. And I said the other thing. I said, you're not Steve. You know, if you stop and think, Austin never drank a beer until after he kicked somebody's butt.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come to the ring drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just – and here's the other thing. Why would Cornette see? That's the other thing. Cornette is figuratively castrated as far as a power, a authoritative figure. Because why would he let him carry a beer bottle out there? Didn't
right.
they almost put Harris's eye out to begin with?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you do that? Again, you've got the rest of your life to come up with a legitimate answer for me.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, but anyway, that was a better show than I've seen him have in a while.
Like about in the 20 years, I'll come to you. I'll be like, let's remember when.
Yeah, and I'll say, no, that still doesn't make any sense, Doc.
Yeah, and that'll take me like 10 more.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but yeah, I wanted to say, you know, it was one of the better shows that they've done, and except the Gandhi thing with Sanjay is just, well, we won't even go into that. I've already did my. I want to say something positive about TNA.
Right.
So that
we should have a segment each week where we just say one positive thing about TNA.
Well, you know, no, because some of our listeners, have said that we throw down on them. But I mean, for me, very quickly, I don't care. I'm not into the boogeyman or
right.
Vince blowing himself up or some of the goofiness that they do. You know. It's just I have more respect for the business that I've spent my life in, that's all.
Mm.
And I don't know how you make other people respect it if you do slapstick comedy, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyway, that's let's move on. Cena is on ABC tonight, driving out of Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Sweet.
In the Young Guns, Gillette Young Guns competition, or Stars and Cars, and or whatever the hell the title of it is. I'm rather interested in that. As you know, I've got a drag racing history. Plus, used to go out to Charlotte, and when I was wrestling in the territory and lived, I didn't live all that far from this, but I lived on the north side of town. So, anyway, a lot of the wrestlers used to go out and watch the time trials and together and so forth. But anyway, it's so if anybody's Well, they can listen to us and crank up the ABC and watch John or DVR too. I'm rather interested. I like seeing ducks out of water. In other words, these people doing something they haven't done, you know, all the time. So, anyway, I'm sure you got a lot more important news and all this stuff than I'm battling
about. We do got a lot of show tonight. Of course, we've got Doug Basham from WWE and TNA. He's going to be on the show tonight.
One of my favorite young wrestlers.
He is.
And a good guy.
He's a great wrestler, and we're going to be talking a lot with him tonight. Also, for Hot Topic tonight, from the Detroit area, he's a wrestling trainer out there. He trains with Truth Martini. His name is American Kickboxer. He's going to be on.
Frank Mullins, and he's also a wrestler, too.
Yes.
While you're filling us in with all your factual information. Yeah. And Frank will have the names. I've got them written down, but I don't have them here. Very quickly, I'm doing a all-day training camp up there on the 23rd at Martini and Kickboxer's dojo or camp or gym or whatever you want to call it. And the neat thing is that I got an email from Scott DeMora, and he's coming over and bringing a couple of All Japan wrestlers.
Scott DeMora, awesome. And yeah. All Japan.
Yeah,
that's
so
sweet.
They're going to come over and take part and hang out with us. And, you know, anyway, Frank will fill, Kickboxer will fill us in on that.
That's pretty cool.
As we go.
Also, of course, TNA pay-per-view Sunday. We're going to play the TNA pay-per-view prediction game.
Okay.
Guys, I got to tell you, in honor of Mr. McMahon's character's quote-unquote certain demise, we're going to hold a contest.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the winner gets a copy of WWE's McMahon DVD from WrestlingRN.com. All you got to do is this, guys. Send us your name, address, and your phone number to this email address, docyoung999@hotmail.com. It's up at our website, WrestlingWeekly.com. With the subject titled McMahon, we're going to pick one of them, and that is going to be the winner. The winner is going to be announced next week on this show, live on the air, and if they live in the United States, you and I, Les, are going to call them and congratulate them in person.
We are.
Yes.
Well, lucky us. Not them. Lucky us.
Lucky us.
That's somebody from the outside world who actually talked to us.
So, guys, get those emails in. Remember, it's your name, address, and number to DocYoung999. That's all one word, by the way. DocYoung999@hotmail.com, guys. And subject title it, McMahon.
And this got nothing to do with wrestling, but LeBron and the Cavaliers are down two games, and they're home in Cleveland tonight.
It's already playoff time?
Yeah. It
wow.
Starts at 9. They've lost the first two, but, you know, they're a young team. You got to realize this kid never went to college. He won three of four of his years of his high school Division II in the state here in Ohio. And not my school, but anyway, the only state championship they lost in their division was to a Cincinnati school. And this kid went straight from high school to play pro ball. And at age 22, he is it's the first time Cleveland's ever been in the finals, the NBA, since their franchise began.
Mm.
34 years ago or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm you know, here's a young guy that was worked his butt off and has got a lot of talent. And, you know, I'd really, you know, I'm glad they're there. If they win, I won't be shocked, but I expect the Spurs are going after their fourth world title in, I think, 9 years. So
really?
Yeah.
I've been so out of the loop. I've stopped watching that since Jordan retired.
Are you
saying
you've been up? Well, Jesus.
I'm not kidding.
That's been a while.
That's been a while, yes.
Yes. Well, I've been a frustrated basketball player from high school. So
I got spoiled by Mr. Jordan's talent.
He's a great ball player. I just wasn't a big Michael fan. I've always been a Celtics guy. So anyway.
Cool. Guys, once again, I want to reiterate about the contest. All you have to do is send your name, address, and number to docyoung999@hotmail.com with the subject titled McMahon. You do not have to live in America. You could be anywhere and win this DVD. But only if you live in America will we call you next week. That's what
you mean. You
want
won't
to reiterate
call anybody
that.
On the other side.
I am. I'm not going to be calling England. No.
Okay. It's not in the.
No offense to our British
And no offense to anybody outside the United States.
Absolutely.
But it's not in the budget.
That's right. So, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, American Kickboxer is going to be here with us. And like I said, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher, Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Thatcher back with you. Wrestling Weekly, guys, on the line right now for Hot Topic. As I said before, he's a wrestler and a trainer out there in the Detroit area. American Kickboxer is with us.
Hey, how's everybody doing today? We're good. How about you? I just got in from training. I was lucky to be actually be able to get here. I almost got stopped by a train, but that's another story.
So. I thought you were going to say by a cop. And I said,
No.
Did you have to do a Dukes of Hazzard jump over this train to be able to get to this interview?
If I was still living down south, maybe. Maybe. I still haven't pulled off the big yeehaw. I'm too far north to be able to hit that correctly.
So, Les was talking earlier, you guys have a sort of camp coming up.
Not a sort of, Doc.
Not a sort of.
It is. We're going to do a whole day at Kickboxers. It's Rage Dojo and the House of Truth, which is Truth Martini is the trainer. These guys run the thing together, and we start at 11 o'clock on Saturday the 23rd, and we will go until whenever.
Yeah.
And it's open to... obviously, independent wrestlers, referees, promoters, managers, whatever.
I've left it to the point, especially with advertising, that if you're wanting to take your training to the next level, that this is the thing to do, because the very few and far guys with the experience that Les has are actually out there, you know. I'm not trying to... put down any fly-by-night trainers or anything like that. I was conned myself when I first started in the business. And my only intentions and the only thing that I have left to do truly in this business is to try to make it better. So, as I said, I never promise my guys anything more than what I can provide myself. I can only take guys to the levels that I've been at personally. So, you know, as I said, for that next step, would be to bring in less, of course. You know, and for me, that only makes sense.
And he's going to charge me for this, Doc, to say this.
Now,
you know, it's well, you know, that's. I mean, the thing of it is, you know, it's this business is when you stop learning and stop improving, man.
Yeah,
you might as well go
do
some
dirt
else.
On my face. That's it.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing. I know a guy asked me on a website, left a question here on the wrestling clothesline the other day about what some of the things that I thought were silly or embarrassing, and I said seeing independent guys in horrible shape that have no talent whatsoever going out and getting in a ring.
Sure.
You know?
And the sad part is their own beliefs, and their beliefs are that they were trained correctly, that they actually know something when the truth of the matter is you know, they have no more of a clue than the first day that they were to actually walk in.
Yeah, that's right.
So as trainers, how can you help somebody who thinks that they already have all the tools?
Let me tell you the way that I treat it, okay? And mm-hmm. this is just my personal philosophy. I think most people come in with what they have an idea of what the business is. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I treat that like a half a glass of milk, all right?
Okay.
Now, what I have to offer is water, all right? And in order for you to drink the water that I've got, what have I got to do? I've got to empty that glass of milk that you've already brought.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step. That's reality. You know, you've got to, hey, guys, whatever you thought this business is, this is the reality of what it is, you know? So I pull no punches, you know. I'm straight and to the point. If you're out of shape, I'll tell you you're out of shape, you know. That's reality, you know. No promoter is looking for flabby, skinny tail guys, you know. Really. And if they are, they won't find them with me usually, because those guys are quick to leave, you know. But that was the process. When I broke in, that was the process. You had to pay your dues. And, you know, I don't coddle the guys. These guys pay their dues, and I bust their asses.
You know, Frank makes a valid point here, Doc. The fact that it's tougher to I shouldn't say that. I was talking about Craig Zellner, Ray Steele earlier, who came with his mind totally open. I mean, he's that much a dedicated athlete. Here I am. I know I don't know anything about this, but I want to do it. Teach me.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But those guys are few and far between. And the biggest problem is, when I broke in this business 47 years ago, I did it because I wanted to do it. But I didn't go in thinking I already knew because there weren't any websites or sheets for me to read about.
Sure.
So I kept my mouth shut and my ears open. And the problem today is so many of these kids come in and think they already know what to do.
Well, let me give just a little story, not to take up too much
sure,
time
no,
of
that
topic or anything like that. This is how I broke into the business, all right? I was in Kentucky. I had seen a poster for an independent show, all right? And I was, you know, a lifelong fan. My only dream in life is to be a wrestler. That's all there is. It's simple as it may sound. But I went to these guys, and they promised me everything under the sun. I set up their rings. Now understand, I didn't have a car, okay? I hitchhiked from town to town and would get there hours before they would to set up their rings, tear down their rings, whatever, to pay my dues to be trained by these guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in the same process, these guys were telling me, hey, when you get back up north to Dayton, where I'd grown up at, to get a hold of Al Snow, because they were such good friends with Al that Al would put me right to work once I got in contact with him just because of the training they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when I eventually moved back up to Dayton, I had called Al Snow up and I said, hey, these guys told me that I need to talk to you about getting work, you know. And Al told me, come up to the gym. I'll take a look at you. And I had went up to Al's gym, and I got in the ring, and it was a very apparent very quickly that I had been taken. You understand?
Right.
That these guys had filled my head with full of lies, and I had believed my own BS or whatever, to the point that I looked at Al, and I said, well, Al, what would you suggest I do? And he looked me dead in the face, and he said, you need to learn how to wrestle. You know, as simple as that is, all right? And this will kind of tail into how I met Les, all right?
Okay.
So I was in Cincinnati area visiting with family, and I happened to be at a nightclub one night, and there was a guy singing karaoke, excuse me, and was they announced him that he was getting ready to go to the WWF, blah, 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 blah.
All right. And karaoke is actually the thing he's done better than anything else.
Yeah, right.
So, I know who he's talking about. Go ahead, Frank.
So anyhow, I asked the guy, hey, man, where'd you train at? Well, you know, who'd you train with? And he named the guy, and it happened to be one of the guys that was down south jerking me around. All
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I went the next day. He told me that they were training the next day, and they had a show the next night. All right? So I had went to that gym the next day with complete intentions of beating this guy up, you know. I might have been, at that time, maybe 125 pounds. But, you know, understand that when I broke in, you had to be tough.
Right.
That's reality. And when I walked into this guy's gym, he's like, oh, hey, how you doing, man? Treat me like we were the oldest friends in the world. And he started putting me over in front of these guys, okay? Man, this guy's great. He can do this and this and this. And I didn't have any more knowledge than I had at Al Snow's, you understand?
Right.
But I've got this guy jerking my ego around and, you know, blowing up my head, making me believe my own BS. Well, in that time frame that I was there, Cornette and Les, I believe, was trying to expand that Smoky Mountain area. And they were looking, you might fill in the gaps here, Les. I don't know all of your side on it, but
okay.
We, from what we had heard at the gym, this guy had told us, me and Les are old friends, and when Les gets here, he's going to be great and everything, and him and Les were old buddies, and blah, 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 blah. And Les came to the gym and looked this guy dead in the face and was like, you're full of, you know, I'll keep you from bleeping me. You've been filling these kids' head full of, you know.
Right.
You don't have an idea what you're talking about, and you need to get the hell out of here. And we didn't see said person again in the gym. And that's how I met Les. And Les took over the training from there.
That's the long and the short of it. Yeah, the guy was just, he was con. Well, and the guy, and I won't mention the guy's name, but the first guy that I trained people for was a hustler, too. And what I didn't know until after I had parted company with this guy was this guy had told these kids that he had bought into Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
all of them lined up.
Yeah, some of them were were negative because they thought, well, since he's now an owner along with Cornette, and of course he wasn't, that we were running across the river here in Florence, Kentucky, once in a while. So anyway, a couple of the guys got a tryout, you know, and didn't get a job, and they were, well, like I was a bad guy, and of course, I didn't know that this guy had told him that he was an owner, and of course he wasn't. But I'll tell you a funny story about this same guy. And there's more. The sad thing is, a lot of these guys on the independent scene today.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to warn these guys about. There's sharks out there.
Yeah, just like him. But he told these kids. This is a funny story in a way, and sad, but true. Is that he told them he was going to Japan to wrestle. A Noki or some, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so anyway, he stayed away from his training camp for a week or so. I guess gigged himself at home, did a blade job on himself. And, I mean, this guy could barely walk and chew gum, never mind being a wrestler, and his trainer wasn't too far behind, much better than him. But anyway, and then they came back and told the kids that he just got back from Japan, and the bandage on his head, and was a result of doing a blade job for stupid thing. But there are guys like this in the business, I don't really mean
to preach on a lot of this stuff. I know you guys had a hot topic and everything kind of planned, but you know, just to kind of tap just a little more into this, I did a show. I'd say it was about a month ago, and I called Les immediately after it. Let me tell you why. Bill Leedy, the Masked Superstar, or Demolition X, was on this show, okay? And I watched this man sit in the middle of the dressing room, and nobody said really two words to him. And I just sat there in utter amazement. And I went over to him, and I introduced myself, and I told him the guys who I had trained with, and asked him, hey, do you mind if I pick your brain for a while? Of course not, you know.
Right.
And I can't understand the mentality, I guess, of these guys that apparently they've got it, you know. They know within those little few years a lot more than this man that's been doing it over 30 years, you know.
Right.
I don't get the mentality.
I think the biggest problem, you know, I shouldn't say the biggest problem is they think because they watch tapes or they watch, you know, and they know it's a work.
My God.
And, you know, I didn't come in with that, you know, even if I'd have thought it, I was smart enough to so that my head wasn't separated from my shoulders to not say it.
Right. I can remember times where somebody would question this business. And heaven forbid Tracy Smothers heard something like that, by God, you know, you better be ready to defend yourself because he's going to defend the business with everything he's got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm stuck on words, I'm sorry. The thought was maybe it's, and get ready to bleep me, I guess, it's a bastardization of what this business is, man. I really hate to see a lot of the direction it's going and everything, but who am I? I'm a guy who next week has 17 years in this business. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, to round it up, too many guys are playing at it, and they're not. I mean,
sure.
To me, even if it's your hobby, I'm the kind of person, if I have a hobby, I want to be the best at that hobby. But some of these guys are just, it's. They don't care.
I'm almost obsessive compulsive about it, really and truly.
You couldn't embarrass them if you set out to do it. They couldn't be, as bad as they are, they couldn't be embarrassed. But anyway, what's the hot topic, Doc?
Okay.
Real quick, let Frank give his email in case anybody would like to join us.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody, please feel free to contact me about the seminar. If you're looking for training, I train guys in a couple different varieties, from Greco-Roman freestyle AAU wrestling to Brazilian jiu-jitsu and submission wrestling to traditional old-school wrestling. So if you come to my camp, you're going to learn how to shoot before you learn how to do anything, because that's the way I was taught, you know. Mm-hmm. I can only teach the way I was taught. But if you want to contact me, please contact me at amkickboxer@hotmail.com. Or you can also reach me at myspace.com/amkickboxer.
Excellent. Okay, guys, the hot topic this week.
Well, I guess a few weeks ago, it had been reported that WWE was going to implement some new strategies to make the referees, more shoot-like, more UFC-like, more
authority
MMA-like.
Figures?
Yes, more of that. But some new details have now come out. And I guess based on what's known now, ever since mid-May, all the matches before intermission at WWE house shows have been taking place without the referee knowing the finish. It's supposed to be looked at as an experiment and an exercise within the company in front of, smaller crowds. Some sources have suggested that this idea was influenced by wrestling newsletters, such as The Torch, suggesting that more realism could be brought back into wrestling by doing this, given the huge popularity of MMA and UFC and sports like that. And the idea, I guess, is if WWE referees don't know the finishes of the matches, wrestlers are going to be forced to pay attention to telling a more realistic story in the ring that would allow the referee to just follow the rules, be his own man, and that should lead to the intended finish. The overall concept is if the referee buys into the match, then the fans no doubt will. Some within have suggested that by doing this, the smart fans would get the word, and they would be in the know that the referees no longer know what the finishes are and might add some intrigue back into the product. First of all, what do you think on this?
How difficult is the word home? Yeah. For the longest time, that's the way I did it, The
right.
Referee didn't know the finish. He heard the word home, and that's where we was heading, So, big deal, really and truly.
You know what? What it amounts to is things going full cycle.
Yeah.
Because you realize, Charles Robinson, Earl Hebner, I'm just throwing it. But a lot of the guys at that level are good referees. But the point is... we're supposed to be suspending people's disbelief, and if you're not a heel if you cheat in front of the referee and he lets you get away with
sure,
it. That's
sure.
part of the deal too.
Right.
I think it's consistent. It's just like last night, with of course the Miz. I was enjoying watching Snitsky knock him around because he gets heat with me anyway, just being the Miz. But anyway, the referee changed the decision because Snitsky stayed on him.
Sure.
My only thing is they need to be consistent.
Yeah, exactly. That. You can't do one thing one week and then go completely
exactly.
off the page
yeah.
the next.
Yeah, and, but I'm all for it. I think it's, again, it's that's one of the business. We're supposed to suspend people's disbelief.
Sure. Let's talk about it going full circle. Let's take that an extra step, Les. Doc, what do you think the words were when Dory Funk was champion? What do you think he called with the guy before the match?
Before the match?
Yeah.
Maybe the finish?
Nah, let me tell you what Dory Funk called, all right? And this is the exact truth, all right?
Okay.
Hi, my name is Dory. Take the head.
All
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the business coming full circle.
Well, here's something, too, though. Not so much about the referee not being in on the finish. If it's a good referee, I don't think that's really here or there.
But,
but what it is a good referee is an intricate part of the match.
Well, sure.
I mean, if the heel's doing something and the referee's making a move to come around him, he'll let the heel know so that the heel's smart enough, if the heel's smart enough, that he'll stop doing it so the referee doesn't catch him. But I think MMA has brought a lot of this into focus. If you're trying to, it's if you're watching a Western movie, it's actors pretending to be cowboys.
Sure.
But if they're not pretending very well, then you lose interest in the movie.
Right,
so
right.
So professional wrestling are guys pretending to be in competitive. Competition against one another, and unless all the little outlying things fit in, then it doesn't work.
Sure. Well, I think any more that the five most feared words in wrestling is call it in a ring. Yeah.
A lot of times, yes, it is. A lot of guys are well. Again, it goes back to the hobbyist standpoint of that too, because a lot of they don't have the opportunity to. column that I'm going to post Thursday is about training and stuff. You know, we were blessed when I broke in to go write, you know, and work multiple times a week. And now, too often now, a guy takes his training, and then once he has a match, he decides, okay, now I'm a wrestler, and I show up, you know, an hour before the show or whatever. And but the problem is that that promotion that he's worked for runs one show a week or sometimes one show a month.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So he's not a he's never going anywhere.
Well, and then most of the times anyways, they're working with guys that are on the same level that they are to begin with.
Yeah,
how can you?
So these, yeah, those are things that you know. Well, what do you do about it? Well, you get your butt in the practice ring
and
put in your time and you perfect what you do.
I'll tell you what I did, and this was, if I could give anybody advice, when I was on shows with, like, we did that Eddie Gilbert Memorial show, right?
Yeah.
And the Funks were in, and Tracy and Tommy Rich, and I took an extra day just so I could spend time with those guys and just sit with them and sit under that learning tree. You know, I spent an extra day in town just to be around those guys so I could possibly pick up something, you know, anything. And if you can't pick up anything from Tracy Smothers, Terry Funk, Dory Funk, or Tommy Rich, then you need to find another job.
Right. You might pick up some things you shouldn't, but anyway.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that out loud.
No,
I'm not
going to
tell any Iron Sheik stories. I won't do it, I swear.
No. I think that's, the referee thing is long overdue because the referees have been turned basically into just a goose.
But then again, Les, I love that you pull this right back to that point. What a job, man. Great job. but if you can do that, though, here's where I have a little bit of an issue with it, maybe.
Okay.
Last night, if you were a first-time viewer of Raw, okay, You actually seen, for the first part of it, all right, you seen something that resembled an actual athletic, or resembled something athletic with that draft, you understand, with the NFL and the NBA, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was your first time watching and you started to buy into this, what did they do in that last 30 seconds?
Pretty much.
Made you feel like an idiot for buying into any of it.
Sure. You're right.
And I don't get it. How can
you
one thing that you're going to do it this way, but then if you go so far off the page the other way, then, you know, that goes back to what we were saying of consistency.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they entertain themselves in these situations.
I get it.
They take a step forward and two steps back, and it's not, I think the saving grace is that if they really are truly want to get the more mainstream advertisers, then they're going to have to get rid of some of the slapstick and the silliness because they don't want to be associated with that.
Sure.
Like, you know, Vince losing his mind and stuff. I mean,
when did it become acceptable for a man to put his hands on a woman?
Well,
in our society.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that was the thing. We were talking about that before you came on. Cornette, put in TNA because Spike had some negative feedback, and they went to TNA, from what I understand, and said, "Hey, guys can't be, you know, beating the hell out of the women."
No.
And it's what I mentioned was James Storm and his beer bottle.
Yeah.
Do I want my, hey, son, there's a role model for you. The guy gets drunk before he goes to the ring. That's stupid imagery too.
I don't see the payoff.
There is none. You know,
that would be my thing.
Yeah.
You know, there is no payoff in it. If you've got a male manager,
well, they're fine. It's called cheap heat. You know, and that's exactly what it is. It's a lazy man's way of getting a reaction.
They're on cable, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So if I wanted to actually see, you know, like naked women, or, you know, some women getting it on, I'd probably change the channel.
Now, be careful how you touch on this, because that doc has his doctoral,
he got hair trigger, does he?
His doctoral reason for living is watching pudding matches. So.
Well, that's, you know, I don't get it.
I don't either. But, you know, see, well, and here's what they're finding out, too, if you start looking at numbers, and we won't get into that because I know we're running short on time, Doc.
Sure.
But one of the things is that domestically, pay-per-view buys are down.
Oh, of course.
Because the storylines aren't what, you know, there is a very strong I don't know if you call them hardcore, I don't know what you call them, but anyway, a strong base of fans that like some of this stuff. But you won't expand past that unless you give the people something. Again, sure. you are imitating real life and not doing, if you're not doing it, excuse me, very well, then why see it?
Well, if you're, you know, my mindset is if you're playing to the less intelligent or the least common denominator, that's what you're going to draw, you know?
There's the thing, too, is you sometimes think, well, you know, the general public perceives us as playing to mongoloid idiots. Well, look at some of the stuff we do. What else would they perceive
as? That goes back to exactly what I was saying about last night. You know, if they bought into that for the 245, 255 that it was on, they completely lost them at the end.
Well, sure, you know, sure, you know. And the good match that Lashley and Benoit had, or the good match even that Cena and Edge had, were, I won't say wasted, but if they made you suspend your disbelief even a little bit, you certainly didn't say, oh, hey, the guy that owns this company just got blown up in his car.
Yeah.
And we'll rerun that again next week to be sure you saw it.
then we'll
have some phony cops questioning people in the locker room.
But by the way, man, our referees, they don't know what's going on, and this could possibly be legit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either clean your act up or
Well, you know. when you go that far off the page, then we go back again. Then why the hell even say it, you know?
Right. Yeah,
I told the guys that the referees now don't know the finish. Well, nobody knew that to begin with, did they? Yeah, I don't know.
I think if you got two good workers and a good referee, then it doesn't matter that he knows. He gets, and again, at the independent level, finding good referees is a tough. it's a tough job too, because I see it all the time. I talked to a couple referees just a week or so ago about. I said, correct me here if I'm wrong, but in a tag match, if I see four guys in a ring, I think it's pretty strong assumption that two of them don't belong there.
Well, didn't they? But you see
what that referee sees, because he doesn't understand. He's supposed to be making it look real.
Right.
Is he sees, oh, these guys are running a spot, so I'll stand back with my thumb up my rear end and my tongue hanging out and watch them run a spot like I'm just a bystander. I'm a mark. I'm a fan. Okay, well, then you've just you've blown the reality thing. Yeah. You can let them do something without, but you still have to look like you're trying to put two of those guys out of the damn ring.
Well, at one point, wasn't there like a two-save rule in a tag match?
Yeah, we were talking about that a while back. Now, that George, we did that. I don't know where everybody did, but I know we did in the Carolinas when George Scott took the book over. But we established it, and it was something that was done with consistency.
Well,
so
that's what they're going to have to do, I would believe.
So if I wasted my two saves on my partner and I got a foot in and start in and realized that I've already and went out, then
sure. Now,
there
now,
was a little drama to
be,
that, too.
Now you got to be a sneaky heel. Now you
Well, that's be. What heels are. Otherwise, it's,
No, they just do it in front of the referees.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Or do you have to hit the referee or manhandle the referee?
Right, sure.
It comes back to the cheap heat aspect again. So.
Oh, right, yeah.
All right. Guys, learn more about American Kickboxer, myspace.com/AMKickboxer, and also the... could you run through the training camp and the dates again?
Okay, yeah, it's going to be June 23rd.
Starting at 11 a.m.
Here in Detroit. It's sponsored by myself and Truth Martini, Rage Dojo, and the House of Truth. Anybody interested, just get in contact with me. You know, I have an open door policy. I really do, because of that. I can truly understand, you know.
And we'll stop when everybody gets tired of me.
Yeah, that's it.
Whatever, or when they tell us they're locking the doors.
Yeah, that's it.
But we'll put in a full day. That's the point.
Oh, excellent.
Completely. We're going to cover everything from nuts to bolts.
Yep. Frank, I want to thank you for being on for Hot Topic.
Oh, my
this
pleasure,
week.
You guys. I'm sorry we swerved so far off of the.
Well, we bounced all over the place, but hey.
You know,
we got it out there.
Yeah. Well, I really and truly, I just think that, guys, if I can leave any last words to somebody looking for training, that if the guy hasn't done it himself, he can't teach you how to do it. You know, that's if I can leave any final thoughts.
Good. Good words.
Right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I
Frank,
appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, and I'll be talking to you soon anyway.
Yes, sir. We'll see you this week.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. American Kickboxer here on Wrestling Weekly. Going to take a quick break, guys.
You want to? Before we take the quick break, do you want to play do the pay-per-view thing?
Actually, we should go to break first. We're running out of time.
Oh, well, okay, Chief Engineer.
But we will be back in just a couple of minutes here on Wrestling Weekly. We've got more news for you. We're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. And, of course, Doug Basham coming up. Stick around.
We know, you hate this part. But Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Here's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get
get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Wrestling-Radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-Radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Young Les Thatcher back with you. Wrestling Weekly, guys. A little more news that we didn't get to in the first part of the show. Then we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game this week. It's TNA's Slammiversary, Les.
Yes.
And then we've got Doug Basham coming up. He's going to be our featured guest tonight, so it's good stuff coming up still. Let's get right into it. The Saturday night's main event, the June 2nd show. Previously reported to be a 2.2 as far as ratings go. The final numbers did come out last week. 1.78 less.
Well, you know what? I think the time, you know, that one time that show pulled 11 point something back, but it's a whole different time now. It's a different era. And back then they weren't giving away what you saw on a Saturday night main event was you didn't see those main event matches every week.
Right.
You know, you realize they opened a show last night with a main event match with Edge and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've heard me say this before, but I don't care if it's Steamboat and Flair. They are only good for so many matches in a given amount of time, and then you've got to cool them off and let them work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give me this match for free, why then do I want to pay $40 for it?
All right.
You know, but I mean, what I'm getting at is they turned this whole thing into a, it was like, what was it about, the strangest, the stupidest, the silliest, the smallest, the strong, I don't know, you know. But anyway, when the whole thing with the freaks and geeks or whatever, it's just, you know, it's not box office.
All right.
So I think at this point, I think what NBC didn't put a lot of strength into advertising it either.
No, they didn't do that.
I don't know if you recall when they were doing the Saturday night main events years ago when they first, you know, when I talk about the when they pulled a 6 point something or an 11 and 1 point.
Oh yeah, I was there.
But I think this is whatever the fulfillment of this contract is. I think the Nexus will be in August. And I don't know, those that aren't familiar with television ratings, the summer ratings aren't, well, now you have a lot of your cable networks and stuff doing summer series because they realize they have a chance to pull. You know, the networks and the big networks aren't they're doing fall and winter. But anyway, it was all, summer is not, you don't expect strong ratings. Because people are doing a lot, you know, people that live in parts of the country where they have seasons, this is when you do your gardening or, you know, well, it's still daylight, right? And it's 9:18 by my clock. So farmers are still out working and on. But anyway,
right.
So they're going to finish this thing up. They've got two a year or whatever it is for whatever the length of the contract, I'm not sure. But I think right now it's just a matter of, not only NBC, but WWE, just going through the motions till it's over. You know, I don't think anybody feels that it's important.
I wouldn't doubt it, yeah, but here's some more, I guess, more in-depth numbers about this episode of the show. The number would, I guess, have to be considered bad.
Well, sure.
Even as an average summer rerun.
Well, you know, I saw some numbers, and I don't have them in front of me because... you know, but when some of these matches, they lost, you know, huge amounts of audience.
Oh, I got this right here. It says usually, okay, an average summer rerun of Saturday Night Live, which would be on the same spot, usually does a 2.8, doesn't cost any money for NBC, and gets more advertising money, of course.
Well, sure.
Cena's match with Kali started out with a 2.7. But the show lost 22% of its audience within the first 10 minutes. The ratings continued to fall. With a late-night show, you can expect stuff like that. But no other segment had that enormous of a drop. Finley and Hornswoggle versus Boogeyman, Little Boogeyman, lost 450,000 viewers.
Yeah.
Well, the last half hour of the show was a 1.4.
You know, and a sad thing about that particular match, let me isolate that just briefly, is that Dave Finley is a tremendous worker,
mm-hmm.
And to waste him on something as goofy as having the little guy as is running in and out under the ring, and then, the you know, but that whole match, it's a waste of him. I mean, here's a talent that could be better utilized, you know, and why, you know. But anyway, yeah, that we'll see, it's matches like that that it's like, you know, who cares? I mean, it's a throwaway. You know, nobody. I mean, if you put that match on a main event on a pay-per-view, how many pay-per-views you think you're going to sell? So why,
yeah.
You know, and the other, you know, so why, you know, and the first bad numbers, somebody, you know, there was talk that, well, we're in the wrong time slot. Well, now this is the time slot that they pulled the big numbers in years ago, and they still pull the bad number, you know.
Right.
And that's what I say. This is one of the things that was part of the deal. For WWE to go back to, you know, for Raw to go back to USA. And it also goes back to what we were talking about earlier that we've talked about for several weeks in varying degrees, is that they want more mainstream advertisers. But, you know, those people look at imagery, right? And like, I've got my TV on now to the Cavaliers and the Spurs. This is the type of imagery that you're going to find those mainstream advertisers, right?
Right.
And these guys don't have little people running out from under the basket to kick you in the shins, and they're not blowing up cars and
correct.
Or humping dead women or you know. So, you know, you kind of create your own hell,
mm-hmm.
and unless you change it, then there it is, man. You know, so. We were saying with Kickboxer before, change it across the board, because one little thing with the referees is not going to, you're not going to have major corporations beating your door. Hey, your referees are better, so can we get on your show?
Right.
You know, it's just it's. I don't know.
Step
you know,
up.
And when I say this, believe me, I'm not a billionaire, so I'm not smart enough to know. Is this just talk for the stockholders' meetings, or are they sincere? And if they're sincere, you've got to see it. You know, you just can't talk about it. I can tell you I'm going out and water the lawn, but if you don't see me with a hose in my hand, I suspect you probably won't believe me, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, it still remains to be seen. I agree that that's what should be done. I agree that the business needs to be, some of the gimmickry needs to be cut. Believe me, it's always been a show. It was a show when I broke in. There's always been an entertainment aspect to this business, and, you know, we go all the way back to Gorgeous George, for God's sakes. But, again, that's, it comes back to, I mentioned the girls on TNA, fighting in the office, the locker room, whatever. It's been done over and over and over and over and over. Who cares?
Right.
You know, so anyway, let's move on.
One good thing about Saturday night's main event, before we move on, one positive, I guess, if you could say anything, it did beat out the Stanley Cup Finals, which did a 1.1. Sorry, Canadians.
Well, you know, but the Canadians didn't win it. It went to the Mighty Ducks.
No, I meant the whole country.
Oh, okay. well, what I'm saying, you know, and that's the other thing, too. I forget, I'm not a hockey fan. I don't follow hockey, but I know I was listening to a couple of sports writers talk about it the other day, and the actual Stanley Cup hasn't been won by a Canadian team in several years.
No, but it's,
you know,
a huge
one. And it's just, well, you know, it's and of all the profession, big, what you might call big time professional sports, is probably the least watched.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this this TNA Slammiversary. Let's play the pay-per-view prediction
let's
game.
Let's go last. For it. Okay.
Only got a few minutes to do this, so let's do it real quick. The NFL great, as they're calling him, Frank Wycheck, is going to be taking on Cowboy James Storm.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, very quickly, you know, my feeling on celebrities and
oh, yeah.
You know, Cena and those and John Smiley and those guys are out at the Charlotte racetrack running on an empty track, right?
Uh-huh.
You think they're going to let any of those guys actually get into a Grand National race and kill half the people there because they can't drive? No, of course not. And I don't see the value in this. And I saw the last week, Wycheck, as a football player, I questioned him, but he didn't know how to promo the thing. That. I don't have a problem with Trump doing what he did, but once you start putting people from Jackass and Jay Leno and things like that in the ring, you're asking for trouble.
Right.
It can't be very good. But anyway, let's hope that Storm. Well, the only thing. Maybe Wycheck by disqualification. I'll go that route.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see here. DQ. All right. I'll go with James on this one. I'll go with James Storm.
Okay.
Let's see. Next up, it's VKM versus the Damaja and Doug Basham with Christy Hemme.
Yeah. Well, I think I Doug and Danny, I think, need to win this. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But I think these guys need to be made strong. Otherwise, it's been a long waste of time. And they obviously can carry the ball that's given to them. So I'm going to go with Doug and Danny on this one.
I'm going to also agree with you on that one for that reason. If it does come out the other way with VKM doing this again to one of Christy Hemme's tag teams, what's the point? How long are you going to drag this one thing out? You know.
Well, I think, you know, these guys, Danny and Doug, are very well worth whatever they can, you know, to be used properly in the tag team situation. There, I think they can fit right in. I don't think she's important one way or the other. I know you hate to hear me say that.
So
she's not. I mean,
not
she's
to
really
the
not.
Mat. She's a manager.
Yes.
But, yeah. but she's important to me, damn it.
okay, well, that's a whole other show.
I had to, Les. I had to. Next up, Eric Young versus Robert Roode. They're going to finally, I guess Robert Roode's going to be accompanied by Ms. Brooks.
Well, I see. This is the deal where Eric gets fired by Roode if he doesn't win, and he gets his freedom if he does win. I'm guessing he's got to win it. I mean, it's pretty much a back-to-the-wall thing. Roode needs his hand held up. Here's a kid that's been, talk about underutilized. I mean, he's just got a lot. I like Bobby, and he's got a lot of talent, I think. He's the whole thing with the girl and this owning Eric is just a waste of good talent. But I think Young's got to win this one.
I'll go with you on that one. I'm going to say Eric Young also. Next up, Mr. Backlund, Bob Backlund, yes, versus Alex Shelley. It's kind of an unusual match.
You know what? I don't know what their thing is, but again, I can't see. Well, maybe they'll get Backlund's hand raised, but I'd put Shelley over in this one.
Me too. I'm going to go with Shelley on that one. Chris Sabin taking on Jay Lethal, Black Machismo.
Sabin. Is it a title match?
Yes, it is a TNA X Division title match.
Okay, then I say Sabin.
I'm going to go with Black Machismo. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
Team 3D taking on the Steiners. This is for the TNA World Tag
Team titles. Well, they won't be taking on the Steiners because Scott won't be wrestling.
Well, yeah, oh, cool. So what is going to happen?
I have no idea. When I say the real world of professional wrestling, when you have to substitute. The thought process should be that the substitute has to be made look as good as the guy he's replacing or better at some point early in the match. But I don't see. I see here's an out to put 3D over because the Steiners aren't intact. Now I don't know who's going to fill in for Scott, but I think in this particular instance because Scott's not going to be there, I think 3D goes over.
I would definitely say 3D is going over whoever. But, what do you think about, there's still, I guess, advertising this match. And everybody, well, not everybody.
I don't know.
A lot of people know that.
I don't have a clue.
He's not going to be there. What do you think about
it's, I shouldn't say obvious. It's obvious to the people that read the website.
Right.
And you know, one thing and another. It's not obvious to mainstream. But I think it's not good business. I think you need to advertise it now, not wait till somebody's sitting in their seat and saying, "Well, if you want your money back, you can get up and go back and get it." You know, and then the guy sitting next to you said, "Well, you know, they've known this for 3 weeks, and then you're really going to be upset." You know, because
right.
You think, "Well, if I don't know, if that's who you're coming to see, and that's the only reason you're coming, you know." But
you're mad.
Yeah.
King of the Mountain match, finally, for the
All right,
TNA
let me
World
throw out
title.
Here real quick, and I just a couple hours ago was made aware that Joe is injured. To what degree or what the injury is, that I don't know. But the conversation led me to believe that he may not be in this match. And, of course, obviously Jeff's not going to be in it. I don't know what the final determination will be this the show that airs this Thursday night.
Yes.
Do you happen to know what the? I mean, somebody can close their ears. Who do you think the five guys are going to be in this thing?
All I know is Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles at the moment.
Angle, Joe, Styles. Well, Chris has got to be in it, right?
It could be.
Well, I mean, he's the champion.
See, I think the taping.
Well, he's not the champion, but I mean, anyway, you know what? Gosh, I don't know. I get the feeling they're going to put the strap on Angle.
Yeah.
That's my thought anyway.
I'm going to go with you on that one.
Well, like I say, if in fact Joe doesn't work, that kind of narrows it down too.
Definitely,
Jared is definitely out of the picture on this one. So I don't know. I'll go with Angle.
I'll go with you on that one also. Guys, check it out. TNA Slammiversary. It's going to be Sunday live on pay-per-view. Check it out. It might be a good one. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, Doug Basham's going to be here, speaking of TNA Slammiversary, and he's going to be talking about his career, answering your questions, all that good stuff. We'll be back in just a couple. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion.
It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
There's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you here at Wrestling Weekly. Les?
Doc?
I'm disappointed, my friend.
Well, so am I. But then the microphone was bad today. And
maybe Doug heard the first 2 minutes of the show and decided not to come on.
Maybe he thought Tim the Tool Man Taylor was in the driver's seat. Well, I'm going to put him over whether he's on here or not. To me, I've known this young man, gosh, I don't know, a long time now. He's a very talented. He's a complete package. He's in shape. He can work. He's got a good head for the business. I think it's, here's a kid that, the one that got away as far as WWE is concerned, and I think if TNA is smart, they will put him under contract and utilize him. I mean, and use him well. What I mean, I don't mean just use him, but use him well. He's very talented. To give you a little background, he is the nephew of Danny Davis, who owns and is the head trainer at Ohio Valley. That's where I first met Doug, and
but he's a gentleman. He's got his heart in the business. He worked for me too, and he's just, you know, he's the kind of guy that he can go out and have a good match and come back and say, what did I do wrong? And he expects you to tell him, you know, how he can improve. And man, we've talked tonight about the guys who aren't that way, and you know, here's a guy who's very positive and wants to move forward and wants to get better every time he laces him up. And I hope that he's, you know, somebody. I don't care if Japan, TNA, but I think, you know, as far as the tag team division, he and Danny will really add something to their roster.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what I was saying about your girlfriend not being of any value, in the sense of the whole angle, it's I don't see how far they can go with that anyway. These guys are, you know, these guys can work with 3D, they can work with the Steiners, they can work with whoever. And I think it's Doug's a big plus, good kid.
Yeah. It's just it's so deflating to have this all set up and then it just not happen. And this is what, I don't know, second time out of three weeks.
I know, but then you've been out to lunch. I don't know when you're going to go to rehab and check yourself in or what. But anyway, stuff happens, as they say, and we're still here, and we still have another 20 minutes of show time, so we do the best we can.
We do have lots of rumors.
One thing I'll report is that the Cleveland Cavaliers going into the second quarter are ahead by 3 points, which is a good thing for me and bad thing if you're a San Antonio fan. Okay, go ahead. Rumors. Yeah. Well, this is the Internet, isn't
it?
Yes, it is. So it pretty much lives on rumors. Okay, what are they?
The PW Insider is reporting there was an incident backstage at the SmackDown ECW tapings in Orlando last Tuesday. Involving a number of independent wrestlers being called out loudly by Johnny Ace, of all people. He was reportedly upset that the indie wrestlers had came out of the catering area, and they were helping themselves to food. One indie worker who helps out backstage at TNA in Orlando was said to have been singled out with Laurinaitis by saying WWE would never send their employees to eat backstage at TNA's catering.
Well, you know what? I don't know if these. You know, I heard this. I don't know if it's a rumor or not either. But if they are team, here. Let me tell you something. I've worked for the company. I know John. I know. You know, a great many of the guys back there. When I go backstage here in Cincinnati, unless someone directly takes me by the hand and leads me to catering, or invites me to catering, or John says, "Les, make yourself at home." Go to catering, then I won't, because I don't work for the company now. So it's, to me, it's by invitation only. And the fact that I'm backstage doesn't make me, you know, a part of that. And the other part is, I think the athletes, it's there for them, and they're the guys who are going to be working that night. And so that's the deal, you know. I won't tell you that. If these kids did that, they'd be the first wrestlers that marked out for a free meal, or maybe went because they knew the catering was good. I don't know, but anyway, that's my stance on it. And
well, it doesn't really say, were these indie wrestlers that were working on the show that night?
Well, no, I would think if they were there to work, then catering's part of the deal. You know, if they were on the payroll, then that's part of the deal. But you know, it's the point I'm getting at here is first of all, I'm not going to take you backstage, and I don't mean that in an insulting way. I don't take anybody backstage. Mm-hmm. If I go, I go. Unless I've got a guy that I'm taking, to do a dark match or in a business capacity, I don't take people backstage. But maybe that's the deal too, that somebody brought their buddy and he made, you know, went and elbowed his way. I don't know. You know, but yeah, I think there's a courtesy thing, and it's not because it's WWE. I'd say the same if I went to TNA until someone there said, "Well, come with us and go have a bite to eat," you know, or whatever. you know. I go early, not for the, I mean, there's nothing wrong with catering here. That's not what I go. I go to visit, you know, and get my visiting out of the way before everybody settles down and gets deep into, you know, getting ready for their matches and stuff, because I don't want to interfere with that either.
So you don't eat the catering at Ring of Honor?
I don't know. They don't have catering, as far as I'm aware. If they do, I've missed it. No, they don't have catering.
Do you go backstage at Ring of Honor before the shows and say hi? Okay.
I get up there early. You know, I always used to go early. Again, I you know, and then the wife usually goes to Ring of Honor with me, and we sit upstairs and watch the matches, and you know. But yeah, I go in and say hello to the guys I know, and spend my time socializing before the show starts.
All right. Here's something that we were speaking about earlier on the show, and you'd kind of touched on it a little bit, but this did come up as an actual news story. And this is, according to reports, one of Bobby Lashley's biggest problems in developing his promos is that he did not grow up a wrestling fan. So he still hasn't quite adapted to the culture of wrestling or how to play it up and fake emotion in a genuine way on camera. One WWE source says that Lashley fears being embarrassed on TV because he knows he's not a natural on the mic.
Well, then, you know, you got to try to work around that. We talked about Benoit earlier, but I know Chris has worked at getting better. He and I have had that conversation a number of years ago, you know, wanting feedback and one thing and another. You've got to do what you got to do, you know. And you might go out there and embarrass yourself, but, it's you immerse yourself in it and learn it. That's all you can do. And sadly enough, there's guys like Jimmy Hart and Jimmy Cornette and Paulie, these guys who are great on the stick, who are managers, and yet they don't have large memories but they're more value than those girls. They are much more value because that's, you know, or Jimmy Mitchell, he talks for Abyss, obviously, because Chris is not allowed to talk for himself with that particular gimmick. But everybody, you know, you can be a tremendously gifted athlete and get your personality, your character across, and still not be a good promo guy. And in this day and age, that becomes, sadly enough, sometimes more important than the fact that you can actually walk and chew gum. But I think with Lashley, he's come a long way. It's just he's got the emote, I guess is the word I'm looking for. You know, he's too bland, maybe. I think there's a time where you've got to show you're bitter, you're mad, you know, and that body language and the sound of your voice has to be different than when you're just saying hello or goodbye.
Right.
You know. And that comes with time, and then again, maybe, you know, he'll never end up being a great promo. That's hard to say, but obviously he's going to get the push. That's why they put him to Raw.
But I think this whole thing comes back to something that I've been saying for a long time. And if Lashley and everybody else feels that he needs to work on his promos, shouldn't that have been something that they should have worked on before they brought him up and made him the ECW World Champion?
You know, there's a lot of things. Here's the funny thing, when they brought Lesnar up, Danny Davis, Jimmy Cornette, and myself, we all felt that it was too early, right? But now Brock stepped up and rose to the occasion and came on stronger and developed a lot quicker than most people thought that he would. Cena, on the other hand, has a great person, the personality and he's a little weak in his technical stuff in the ring, but that's improving over a short period. You're not going to – there's seldom you're going to get anybody coming up that across the board is strong in everything, you know? Look at a baseball team. They've got eight guys out there. Forget the pitcher, but they've got eight guys. And all eight of those guys aren't going to be hitting 300 with 30 home runs and 120 RBIs.
Right.
right? But some of those guys are strong on defense, and some of the guys are strong on, you know. But that's the whole thing that I think that there's always, you know, over the years there was, I mentioned Rob Conway a few weeks ago being a good setup guy in the middle of the card, and what I meant by that, you know, was that he or Babyface, he's the guy that the new talent coming in has got to get through to move another level up. But then once he's got the, that's a talent in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that?
I thought it was on your end.
I don't think so. but anyway, you know, so you've got, no, that's not on my end. You've got to work around guys, shortcomings.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they don't develop those shortcomings, which doesn't mean you can't utilize them. It's just you have to cover them. And, of course, everybody can't have a manager that can't talk either. You know, but you hold their promos down to a there's sometimes you create a monster in your own right. And with WWE, they've created the 10-minute opening promo.
Right.
Well, everybody can't do them, and some of the guys who are doing them don't do them all that well, you know, and they get lost and ramble. But, see, that's the other thing, too. Don't establish that. That would be my thought process. Let's don't have a standard pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't come out and do an opening. Maybe we'll start with a match. There's a clever idea. It's a wrestling show. But anyway, with Lashley, it's going to tell over time. But if he doesn't, then you've got to keep his promo short. You've got to, if you turn him heel, then you maybe put a manager with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Who knows? New report. Oh, gosh. This one coming from backstage at ECW. I guess according to the rumor, one person that wasn't sad to see Sabu go from WWE was Tommy Dreamer. Surprisingly, Dreamer and Sabu, I guess, reportedly haven't gotten along for a long time now. And sources said Sabu was growing increasingly frustrated with his role in WWE because it upset him to see how much the company had demeaned and mishandled the ECW name. Hold on just a second, guys. We're going to take a quick break.
Let me tell you something. With the short time we've got left, I wouldn't bother.
Let's get him on to say hi at least. I'm sorry?
I said let's not bother. Because you're just going to tease, let's get him on next week, okay?
All right.
Just to say hi is, well, anyway. you and I are going to have this discussion on air because I don't know where else to have it. But no, let's don't do that.
All right. We'll talk to Doug. We'll get him on next week. I'm sure something bad happened.
Yeah, and give him my number, too, and tell him to give me a shout when he gets time. Not tonight, necessarily, but at some point over the next couple of days. Anyway,
moving on with the Sabu thing.
I can appreciate him being disgruntled with how the business was run. He and Tommy, I don't know if they have personal problems or not. I really don't have a clue. But obviously, they're both professional enough to, But then, see, that's the other thing too. One of the things that I teach. Well, I shouldn't say I teach. You can't teach it. One of the things I constantly interject to people that I train for this business is, you know what, you may have to work with the devil, and as long as you can work, then that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go home with him. You don't have to eat at his table, you know, or live in his house. So it's business. Virtually everybody listening to the show, there's probably somebody who works in their office or in their factory that they're not in love with.
Right.
You know? But it's at the end of the day, you don't go home with that person. So, I don't know about Tommy and Terry or Sabu, but we could sit here. You want me to make a list of guys that don't get along socially?
I think there are some websites that actually have lists like that.
Oh well, okay.
I'm not joking.
To me, being in the business and having been a that's not something that I'm interested in touching. Now, you know,
well, I know that
the Flair and Foley thing was very public,
right?
So I hated to see that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think there's certain dirty laundry that you can air, and certain that I'm not interested in airing. But I you know, Sabu, I've never had a crossword with a guy. I think he can be difficult to deal with. I've never done business with him, but from what I understand. Tommy, I've got a good personal relationship with. He worked in my camp. He spent time at HWA with me for a while, and he's dedicated to the business. So, and they both are in their own way. So, I don't know.
Here's another one. We'll probably end on this one, but I do want to remind you before I tell you this next story, guys, that everything we're talking about in these segments are not confirmed to be true. These are all rumors. These are all just things that have been reported in the last week. But this next one says, according to reports, the feeling within WWE management is that Shelton Benjamin coasts too much because he's so gifted in the ring. As a result, sources close to WWE say that this is the reason why Vince McMahon hasn't invested more time in him, because there are doubts internally about his hunger and his will to work hard if he can, and he was to get a big push. Benjamin's promo skills are still a concern and have been for some time now. It should be noted that many within WWE feel Carlito could be grouped in the same train of thought, as both Benjamin and Carlito are marked as being consistently inconsistent.
Well, I've never been around Carlito, so I can't comment on that. Although I'm not a big Carlito fan in terms of that. What I mean is, he's you know, as far as preliminary wrestler, I'm you know, cool with that. I don't see a big push for him. As far as Sheldon, you know what? You were talking about Michael Jordan earlier. Jordan was such a good basketball player that use him as an example, but I think you can go back and look at a lot of guys where things they do look easy when they don't look easy for somebody else. And I think that would be the case with Sheldon. I don't think he's lazy. I think he's a low key guy but he's a hard worker, and I think he is a gifted athlete. And a lot of times it's not that he's not putting the effort, but it looks easy for him because it is. You know,
possible, yeah.
But I think he deserves. I would utilize him different. I don't think he needed his mother being there and.
Yeah. What would you say, Les, if I ever got Shelton Benjamin's mama on this program?
I wouldn't say a word. I'd probably take the night off. When I say that, what do you say? Hey, I guess you could ask her what it was like to work in the wrestling business as opposed to the movie business and stuff like that. But I just, you know.
I got to ask her about her training or, you know, if she could do a drop total.
What training?
Yeah.
What training?
Exactly. That's why I wouldn't ask.
Why would you ask?
That's why I wouldn't.
There is no training.
That's
so you would.
I said I wouldn't ask that.
Oh, okay. But no. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. But yeah. But as far as Sheldon, I think he is a gifted athlete. He's a fine young gentleman, to the best of my knowledge. What time I've spent around him, I see he's had a couple false starts in the way he's been used. Why, I don't know. But I think he's a valuable asset to the company and could be used. He and Charlie, that whole thing when they started out with those guys, as Angle's tag team, you know, like Team Angle or whatever the hell it was. But we've talked about the tag team division could be good, and it's always, that goes back to Vince's dad. It was always, it's kind of a secondary thing. It was there, but it wasn't. And I think, I've seen territories where the tag teams were, firstly as strong as the singles, and I think that helps. You know, we talk about depth of this company, and part of the reason the depth is their lack of almost a refusal of utilizing their cruiserweights and their tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so kind of you painted yourself in that corner.
Yeah, guys, we're gonna wrap things up for this week. I do want to remind you before we get out of here, if you do want to take this week in mourning, since Mr. McMahon is presumed dead. Be sure to enter our contest. The winner gets a McMahon DVD. It's the WWE DVD titled McMahon. Send us your name, address, and number to this email address. It's docyoung999@hotmail.com. Subject, title McMahon.
Okay, can I enter that, too, because I don't have a copy of that DVD?
You can.
And I've got a short little blarb on it there, I think about 30 seconds or something.
But you, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
But you could go to WrestlingWeekly.com, all the info's there. If you are the winner next week, we're going to pick the winner live, and if you live in the United States, we'll give you a call.
Let's try to get Doug Basham on for next week.
Definitely.
Or in the immediate future, I know you're working on Kevin Sullivan, or actually it's kind of like me watering my lawn.
No, Les.
When I see you with a hose in your hand, then I'll think you're watering yours. and Alex Marvez, it's A-L-E-X. And anyway, Tim Taylor, let me apologize for us not having the guest, but I just felt to get Doug on just to see. You know, it just didn't make sense with a couple minutes because I'm sure the fans would like to, you know, the listeners would like to ask questions. And I've got a history with the guy, and I think part of what he and I could talk about would be interesting. And we couldn't even touch on any of that. In fact, if we can, let's get him on and give him more than a half hour next week. If that's
I'll give him a call when we go off the air.
Give him my regards and give him my number and ask him to give me a call in the next couple of days if he has the time.
Will do.
Okay.
We'll be back with you next week, guys. Keep checking out WrestlingWeekly.com. Find out who our next few guests will be. The assumed guests.
Yes.
we'll see you next week, guys. Have a good one.